This week on Myopia Defend Your Childhood, we learned that Johnny Depp is better than Tim Burton. At least he was 13 years ago. We watched Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. Did actors who had to actually learn lines really hate Jack Sparrow?
Is, do you? Aztec gold. The heathen gods placed upon the gold a terrible curse. 10 years we search. Every last piece we have found, save for this.
Hello, Bobby.
They've taken Elizabeth.
Welcome aboard the Black Pearl.
We must save her.
Where do we start?
Jack Sparrow. He talked about the Black Pearl. Make a deal with him. He can lead us to it.
You forget your place. You are a blacksmith.
If you spring me from this cell, I shall take you to the Black Pearl and your bonny lass.
You're a pirate.
Forgot one very important thing, mate. I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Not sure I deserve it. You're not facing normal pirates. Cruel, demented, vicious pirates, to be certain.
Say goodbye! Goodbye.
But cruel, demented, vicious pirates who cannot be killed. The moonlight shows us for what we really are. That's interesting. We are cursed men.
I hardly believe in ghost stories anymore.
You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. You're in one. Jets, you all remember Captain Jack Sparrow. Kill him. I'm gonna teach you the meaning of pain!
You like pain? Try wearing a corset.
Here they come.
Pirates of the Caribbean. The Curse of the Black Pearl.
I may have deserved that.
Universe. The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week, we watched Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl from 2003, which, if you don't know, is actually the first one. They gave them subtitles right away. It's the movie, of course, that allowed Johnny Depp to launch his own eyeliner line with Maybelline. I'm Nick Kaufman, editor-in-chief of Dude Letter and host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood and Dude Letter Podcasting. And on panel tonight, we have...
Aaron.
And...
Hello, this is Daniel, and my one experience with piracy was Napster.
I'm Scott.
Matthew W. Quinn, webmaster of the blog The World According to Quinn.
Excellent, guys. I guess as people are handing out accolades, of course, this is Scott, our graphic designer, graphically.
I work here.
Yeah, kind of. When you need someone, look to your employees, I guess.
By the way, Scott, there's something you and I need to discuss. If you'll step into my office after this real quick.
He's our HR manager now. He'll fire people.
Too much.
I enjoy playing with them first. It's like cat Bert.
Too much harassment in the office.
It's just so sexy.
It's all the rum, Nick. It's all the rum.
That's why it's gone.
Yep. Go to the Oval Office, girls. He can't corner you there.
Before we go on, any creepier? We should get a brief defense. And this is a weird one because we all had fond memories of this movie. So picking at random. Aaron, why don't you tell us what you thought about this? Did it hold up as well as you had hoped?
I was glad to do a revisit on this movie. I don't think I've actually seen it since it first came out. I thought it was fun. I thought it was one of those classic cases of where Disney takes a story that's kind of dark and Disney's the hell out of it, you know, throws in some jokes, you know, some wooden eyeballs, and everybody has a good time. Very reminiscent of another possible myopia future. Yeah, future film would like The Three Musketeers with Oliver Platt. Same thing.
Yeah, that one.
The one from 1993. I'd like to see that.
Or Man in the Iron Mask.
Yeah. We need to hit those up. Well, but anyway, same kind of thing where Disney takes a story, kind of a classic story, maybe a little darker, and Disney's the hell out of it. I had a good time with it. I thought it was too long. I thought there could be like 30 minutes.
Wait. Classic story. But you mean a classic ride?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it took us for... some sort of ride.
Mm.
I have to ask, was it better than Cutthroat Island, the last big pirate movie that
I have
out?
To ask, did anyone see Cutthroat Island?
No,
they
did not.
What was Captain Ron up there too? And
I did see Captain Ron.
There was that Roman,
I'll defend that movie.
There was that Roman Polanski movie about pirates that came out in the 80s that made even less than Cutthroat Island.
Well, there was a movie called, I think, Shipwreck. That was probably the first movie I saw. I moved to East Cobb. I saw it in theaters with my mom. It was actually like a Swedish movie or something.
Oh, that Swedish film that ends up in East Cobb, I guess.
Birdie Bursty, matey. Birdie Bird.
I think the first pirate movie I saw.
Oh, Muppet Alert.
I was going to say, I think the first pirate movie I saw was Muppet Treasure Island.
Mine too.
Or the Pirate of Penzance episode of Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah.
Totally insane-y Animaniacs.
I was going to sing the song, actually.
And Treasure Planet.
Oh.
That's not the podcast. Speaking of, it's been a while. Scott, would you like to give us a plot summary?
Hello.
This is why I need to speak to you in my office. I'm stealing my assignments.
I'm not good at my job. I just work here. So what is this movie about? It's about pirates, gold... There's a curse.
Inept British.
There's a group of pirates who are cursed by taking Cortez's gold. Meanwhile, the captain they overthrew to set out and do that plan is Jack Sparrow, who's trying to get the boat back. Meanwhile, there's British people and a governor and his daughter and Orlando Bloom, and they're in the movie also.
That's probably.
And then they made four more of these.
That's probably.
They're making another one.
It comes out next year. Yeah.
That's probably one of my favorite summaries ever. And then there are British people.
Well, I don't honestly know why they were in it. So I don't.
You say that, and it made me realize this is one of the most complicated plots. Because we've done a lot of big budget pseudo fantasy movies on this because they're perfect fodder. Because they either super work or they super don't.
Yeah.
This, in most movies, would have been given over 20 minutes of very awkward exposition, right? And we do have a couple of very weird exposition scenes with, like, Orlando Bloom and the first mate, right? Mr. Pibbs.
Yeah.
They call him Mr. Pibbs.
Yeah, there you go. Jibs? Hibs.
I don't...
Twig.
In the heat of a night, it's Twigs. Mr. Tibbs, but I don't know what it is in Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think it's Twigs.
Twigs? All right.
Tibbs.
I swear that guy's on Game of Thrones somewhere. That guy looks so familiar.
Which guy?
The fat guy.
The fat first mate guy.
He's on Once Upon a Time. He's Grumpy, the dwarf.
They have a dwarf in this one, but it has one line.
No, to be fair, they're all Disney properties. I get the feeling you get a contract and you end up as one of their working girls or whatever.
Boy, now imagine Mickey Mouse in a pimp suit slapping someone.
Woohoo! You didn't bring any Mr. Benjamins home for Mickey, ha ha!
This is turning into bad bit hour. We should talk about some things before it goes completely off the rails.
Well, yeah, it is a weird plot to describe, I guess. Because there is, like, the whole British Navy thing at Port Royal and some weird love story that's kind of there but kind of not.
Well, and it's a love triangle with people who don't realize they're in a love triangle, which is also weird.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a question for everyone, and I'm not sure if anyone can answer, but I've heard a bunch of articles and a bunch of sayings online that this is a ripoff of the Secret of Monkey Island games. Is that accurate at all?
No.
No? Well, all right.
No, I mean...
There's not even grog in this movie.
There's rum, because I guess they can say rum in Disney?
If they made a Monkey Island movie, it would have been amazing, but...
Weren't they talking about... Am I crazy?
They were talking about it.
Telltale rebooted it. Maybe because this came out, they decided not to do that.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Now, we should talk a little bit about some things. As far as the movie looks, I think there's some weird CGI choices, but it looks pretty fantastic.
I have to say, of all the movies we've seen, this has one of my favorite CGI shots, which is that end sword fight where there's like moonlight streaming into the cave. And occasionally, pirates will get into the moonlight, and then they'll briefly change into skeletons, because that's the curse, apparently, and then they'll step out and immediately change back. That was very well done. That was incredible.
Yes, and that, and it's also pretty clever how they use that in the story, tactical deployment of curses. Like, Sparrow at one point deliberately curses himself by taking the gold from the chest.
Well, it means that, unlike a lot of, frankly, crappy movies we've seen, I mean, and even fun ones that have, curse and prophecy and all that kind of garbage, this one actually, they keep the rules pretty consistent, which is stellar. Now, I'm going to say this and realize we've watched bad Disney movies, but can you imagine how much budget this cost? I'm sure there were 1,000 drafts of this script, you know? But
was it as expensive as Portobello Road?
Oh, God. Bed knobs and broomsticks, guys.
As long as Portobello Road felt like that.
No?
Well, okay. The big phrase, and we'll get to you in a second. But you guys have to tell me what you think.
Pointing makes for good radio.
Well, then they don't know I'm going to call someone out, Daniel. But we should talk a little bit about Johnny Depp, because this is, I guess, when he first proposes to Gore Verbinski before he does another half dozen of his films.
First proposes to Gore Verbinski? I guess that's legal now.
Well,
this was Johnny Depp's I'm going to make a movie my kids can actually watch, because I'm in a bunch of R-rated drama, hard-to-watch shit.
Well, and Tim Burton shit, which is also sometimes very hard to watch.
Really dark stuff. And so he did this, and it turned out pretty dark anyway. So.
It did. But what do you think of him in it?
I think he's spectacular. I really do. I think he did. I mean, now the role has become kind of cliche, especially every time you go to Dragon Con, there are a million Jack Sparrows and everybody's walking around like they're drunk.
That's not just them acting, though.
They're getting into character is what they're doing.
Yes.
So it's become really cliche, but I think, as is with a lot of things that become cliche, they have to really stand out and resonate with people first. And I think it was a pretty spectacular, pretty iconic, spectacular portrayal, and it holds up. He's still fun to watch in this role.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy the movie all that much because of his length, but Jack Sparrow, when he's on screen, is pretty funny.
Well, I remember...
But where's the rum gone?
I remember all the... controversy is not the right word, but that's almost it, when he was nominated for an Oscar for this role originally. And how strange it was that Johnny Depp, who had never really done a big budgeted movie before that was any bit successful, was taking on some sort of Disney family movie. That was considered hugely strange at the time. And now you look back on it, it's like, oh, that's par for course.
But I mean, you know, combining all these thoughts, it's the Jason Mewes effect. You have this really interesting character in Jay, and then you beat it to death until it's trite. And now Johnny Depp, even other roles that are similar, like Hunter S. Thompson in Fear and Loathing, you're just like, oh, that's just proto Jack Sparrow, I guess, and everything kind of... And when he's silly, even that idiotic Mordecai movie, like when he goes all, Austin Powersy for scenes, it's like, oh, well, that's his... He's jacking out.
Yeah, that's true. That is like a big part. I mean, you watch The Lone Ranger, and how do you watch The Lone Ranger without thinking like, okay, so this is Jack Sparrow in a different setting?
He did get his performances after this series do seem register as shticky, whereas his previous stuff, his not as popular stuff, but like Ed Wood and whatnot.
Well, Edward Scissorhands.
He's an amazing actor. Yeah. He really is. And
It makes me wonder what he can actually do. I mean, it's a problem that a lot of people who get hits in like big action, like I love Chris Hemsworth as Thor. He's Thor. You know, like if this hadn't been the role that, you know, if Tony Stark had been his first role, that's RDJ forever. Now, it's already hard for him to get out of it, but at least he has a filmography.
Hugh Jackman did a good job of breaking loose from Wolverine because he got so... Yeah.
Well, but
I thought so.
The thing
he had a career before, though. He was actually a really well-known theater actor.
Prestige, and he's a theater actor, yeah.
Now, if they make a Wolverine musical...
Yes.
I've watched the
Wolverine!
I like it. If Alexander Hamilton can get it.
Why not Wolverine?
Someone has to tell that story.
and plug here for them who made this, but there's a Glove and Boots Wolverine puppet musical that's about 5 minutes, 10 minutes long, and you guys should watch it. But getting back to this, this is the first time I think any of us really understood who Keira Knightley was, other than pretending to be Natalie Portman in Phantom Menace.
Attack of the Clones, too. I think she's the one who dies.
I thought she died in the first one.
No, when someone blows up her shuttle, the beginning of Phantom Menace, that's why Anakin Skywalker is her bodyguard, and then
things
go from there.
That's right, yeah.
Nerd. Well then.
we're all nerds, aren't we?
I'm the man with two podcasts, starting a third and editing on a fourth. Maybe a fifth and sixth. We'll get there.
She was also in Bend It Like Beckham. Was
yeah,
that
that's what she did right
that?
Before. That was before. That was
I
before,
do though. Remember that movie.
That
it
was where
good.
She got
forgettable,
famous.
But good.
Yeah, my first Soccer. Major Keira Knightley movie was King Arthur. But that came out afterwards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That
yeah, stay tuned for that one.
Oh, I'll defend that one.
I know I didn't see it with you, but I keep thinking I did.
I saw it with Wellborn, but that was when I was working at Whitewater, so that was in 2004.
Okay. Right. So in case you were too wondering, for those of you doing Matt's CV for him, in 2004...
In case you needed to know where he was on that cold, rainy night in 2004, he has an alibi, folks. He's got an alibi and a witness.
Oh, mercy me. But what did you think of her in this movie? I think she was... They actually gave her a lot to do, and she did okay with it.
She did. I just always feel like Keira Knightley needs to, like, be credited twice. Once for her, and once for her teeth.
Yes.
They're distracting, and that's so mean, because as a woman, I should not be attacking another woman's appearance, because she's gorgeous. She's a gorgeous girl, but it's distracting.
Well, she's
like, through
British.
The whole film.
She's British. What do you want her to do?
There
a
you go.
British woman with good teeth.
Solved.
Now, that's good.
Yeah.
That's what we in the biz call a rarity.
Well, I would say they gave her a lot to do, but then didn't know what she would do with it, if that makes sense. Like, they're like, be in charge of the scene, and then she would stand around with a group of men and just kind of give them wild eyes.
Yeah.
Kind of like she wanted to be a Johnny Depp. I don't know if that's her fault.
At least she wasn't the damsel in distress and was doing stuff.
That's true.
I gave you credit there.
That's true. Her acting was pretty wooden, though. I mean, like... Take charge of this scene. Be the love interest in this scene. It was kind of the same. She was kind of the same in either scene.
And
like, she didn't really do much with what they gave her. I didn't think.
No, I agree with you. And like, and then there are also reasons why, like, she often drove the plot in a weird way. And like, I know people, when you hear me say that, you think Mary Sue. And she's not a Mary Sue character. But then all of a sudden she'll know pirate slang and lingo for no reason.
And songs.
Maybe she read them all in books or something.
Because pirates write things?
People write about them.
I guess.
I mean, I did my big master's paper on piracy. So they did have books about pirates.
Right, and they had Jones's book on the pirates and
stuff,
but that came out later.
I thought Jones's book on the pirates or one of the big pirate books was a forgery.
It was a bullshit. He was arrested for piracy, and so he just said, I'll spill the beans on all the pirates, and he made up a lot of stories.
Okay.
But it's where we get a lot of our lore from, including the one whose flag they ripped off, a guy named Calico Jack. That's where they get Jack Sparrow's character from, because he had a cat tattooed on him, Calico. Ta-da, history nerd. History nerd.
Here I thought all the pirate lore was ripped off from Treasure Island, but...
Well, a lot of it was, but, I mean, he also had a source, right?
Yeah.
But... Regardless, if you go to Ocracoke Island, they'll tell you how when they cut the guy's head off, it swam around the ship, and it's actually an island, and we left my cousin Davis there, and it was, you know, it's family trauma.
So you marooned him there with a gun with one bullet in it.
Well, we had gone to buy fireworks, and then we left him at the fireworks factory. You know what happens? You know how kids get grown up, and they have traumas? Well, this is Davis's. Good old Davis. Hi, Davis.
Speaking of Davis, hey. I do have to ask about Orlando Bloom.
So, Aaron, what do you think about Orlando Bloom?
He is so painful. Oh, he's painful. Oh, this whole movie just should have been Johnny Depp.
Exactly.
This whole movie just should have been Johnny Depp swaggering about. We didn't really need the rest of it.
No,
well,
at all.
Because we had Norrington. That's the foil, right? Yeah. If you need another love interest, it should have been Johnny Depp and Norrington.
Why wasn't it just Johnny Depp versus Norrington, or Captain Jack versus Norrington?
Because originally Jack Sparrow was supposed to be a supporting character, but then after Johnny Depp did the job that he did,
oh,
he gave him
yeah,
a breakout
but you don't
character.
Cast Johnny Depp, you don't cast Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, and you're like, okay, I think we have our movie. Then you're like, well, let's get one more guy.
Well,
wait, we got Johnny Depp? Why the hell do we have these other two who can't act at all? And give them a second-rate plot. Just go with the Johnny Depp thing.
At the time, Johnny Depp really wasn't that big of a star. He was more of a cult character actor.
Right, but he can actually act.
Well, I would
and
say...
And I know Orlando Bloom was hot at the time from Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Well, I would say, too, the thing I get the feeling it is, I wonder if Disney didn't have all these people on some sort of holding contract, and then they dumped people into the movie, and then, to Daniel's point, they did test screenings, and Johnny Depp was the most popular character, because I could see that there'd be, like, a 2-hour and 45-minute cut of this movie, and then they just edited out some, I mean, there's more fluff they could have edited out, but they edited out stuff that Johnny Depp wasn't in, and added him back to some scenes, because... You can see where there's cut and paste jobs done here, like where they added extra pirate scenes with these guys that don't seem to matter, but it just has Johnny Depp running around with his. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's the second one where they're just like with the ooh, right, where people are just like Orlando Bloom here even makes fun of his like yeah, twiddle little, fingers, little his
yeah,
beard
that was,
hands.
That part was pretty funny when they got him trying to stumble around.
So one of Johnny Depp's defining characteristics in this movie is his hands. That's pretty unique, I've got to say.
Well, I mean, he turns into one of the great physical actors. Like, this is a Chaplin role or something? Like, this is a Buster Keaton
well,
role?
Yeah, and he does, in Benny and June, he actually does the Chaplin.
Mm, yeah, that's right.
He is a phenomenal actor, actually.
Yeah. You can see a lot of this kind of brewing from Fear and Loathing, for yeah. sure.
Well, I mean, maybe that's the problem. I almost wish in some ways this had been less of a success because it shows that he can act. But he keeps working himself into these corners. I mean, not that... like they probably drove by the fourth one a literal dump truck of money. And with the gap between the fourth and the fifth one, it was probably two dump trucks this time. You
well,
know?
I mean, he's already going to do whatever Tim Burton says, which can work out when you do Sweeney Todd or whatever. That's fine. But the fact that Tim Burton's like, I'm going to do Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You want to be in it? And he's like, well, of course. And it's terrible. I'm going to do Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, do you want to be in that? Of course. And
there's
it's terrible.
There's going to be a sequel.
I'm going to do Dark Shadows. I'm going to do whatever. You want to be in all my movies? I'm going to do another Alice in Wonderland. Like, enough. Like, stop following Tim Burton around because he's lost his freaking mind.
Well, and I mean, that's what Gore Verbinski is now, yeah. I guess. He's been like
yeah,
six of his movies.
But like, Tim Burton, I mean, Johnny Depp following around Tim Burton kind of got really big from that and kind of should stop that.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, he did Black Mass last year. That was a good departure.
That was damn good.
Well, that whole thing, though, is it was more the reverse. It was more Johnny Depp's star power was getting those projects greenlit, and then he'd be like, oh, I've worked with Tim Burton before, and, yeah. you know, there's, like, two movies that really put me on the map.
Yeah, I can see
I
that.
I want him to direct
Well,
me.
I was going
to
say it probably went both ways, yeah. because yeah. Batman hit, and then a lot of other things worked out, and then it kind of went back and forth, yeah. and that happens sometimes, but you'd think at a certain point, well, let's just say at least Helen Botham Carter called it quits after yeah. a while.
Plus, Johnny Depp has turned down a role in a Tim Burton movie before. That did happen.
Which one?
Mars Attacks. He was supposed to be the Michael J. Fox character.
Oh, but Michael J. Fox Hollow, can't like act anymore, year. Which is a shame.
This was in 1996.
Well, I mean, this is one of his last roles then, right?
Probably before Spin City, but yeah.
I like Sleepy Hollow so much, though.
Yeah, I like Spin City.
What are we talking about? Michael J. Fox and Sleepy Hollow, that's a surprise.
No. We should talk next about
Jeffrey Rush.
Thank you. My thought.
The yes. other actor in the movie.
Yes.
Literally, the other actor. Everyone else is playing
cardboard.
I think the whole movie could have really just been Jack Sparrow, Jeffrey Rush's character, which was you know, Captain Barbossa, and you could have gotten rid of the love story altogether.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess Orlando since it's a Disney movie, they wanted to have a strong female character in there, but you really could have just had the pirate stuff and gotten rid of everything else.
Disney likes strong female characters?
Well, they've got Anna Maria, who slaps Johnny Depp a couple times.
As well as a bunch of prostitutes.
There you go.
They're who slapped strong. Johnny Depp a bunch of times.
That's right.
It was this close to being the opening scene from Wedding Crashers, with just a bunch of slappings.
Slappings. They did perfect that slap reaction shot.
Well, so did he, because he like held it like a second too long. He turns into a Looney Tunes character at one point. He's just like,
a Looney Tunes character.
I might have deserved that one. Oh, I promise, guys, I'm not going to do impersonations, because Johnny Depp impersonations are... It's like when someone walks up and does a Borat, like, my wife, you're just like, you're not allowed around children anymore.
But Nick, that hurts.
He turned into a Mario brother. That was amazing.
I'm a Mario from Kazakhstan.
Oh, my God.
Did I just hear the N-word, or...
No, you didn't.
No.
Okay, what? Thank God.
What?
We can just add, like, random, like, words getting bleeped out in post,
we should.
Right?
Actually,
just
what I'm thinking
unnecessary
was...
Unnecessary editing or unnecessary censorship? That'd
unfortunately,
be fine.
Our producer here is too professional. Next time, Scott, you're on board... We need to, or on panel rather, I need to get you like a morning DJ's like buzz panel, so you just go, that's what she said. You know, like,
yeah.
Fireman, save my baby, or whatever.
Oh boy.
Fireman, save my baby.
So long as we're talking about Jeffrey Rush, this is the one problem with the movie that I had. Was his character was set up as the villain, but he wasn't actually a villain. His motivation is, I want the curse lifted from me. That's not a villain motive. That's just, I'm a regular guy who wants bad things to stop happening to me.
Scott and I were
But he does bad things to make them stop happening.
So does Jack Sparrow.
But a pirate is the protagonist of the movie.
Yeah, but Barbossa gratuitously shells Port Royal.
So do the British,
but
right?
We're not supposed to like anyone in Port Royal.
We're not supposed to literally like anyone in the movie.
They set them all up as jerks, too. That's the thing. There's no good guys or bad guys in this movie.
Disney made the perfect gray area movie? Is that possible?
I have no idea how that happened.
But well, they accidentally
they couldn't settle on a character to really make this... to really push them in the good person direction. So they're like, you're a pirate, but you kind of have a heart, but you don't always have a heart. Sometimes you do.
I mean, like, the most character growth that happens is at the end, the British decide to give Jack Sparrow a head start, right?
Like, I think he was just tired.
But I mean, but right? Like, because Captain Norrington, like, literally they save Elizabeth Swann's life, a Keira Knightley's character, and then they immediately try to kill Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. Have we named the characters yet? We've named Jack Sparrow and Elizabeth Swann.
Bill Turner, Barbossa.
Okay.
And then Miscellaneous. Yeah. A cast of 200. And something that bothered me upon rewatching this and then watching, especially the later ones, the third one, which is 9 hours long.
And stinks.
They have pairs of characters. And the pirates have them, and the English have them, and they're slapstick, straight man, silly one, like traditional comedic partners.
Yep.
And the pirates have this one that's like this bald guy with a skullet, and the other one has a wooden fake eye. Then the British have a fat guy and a thin guy. It's literally Laurel and Hardy. Mm-hmm. And they keep cutting back and forth, and they're completely replaceable. And it's funny, but it bothers me because it's levity for each scene, and it's frustrating as hell.
And that's how all the Jack Sparrow scenes work. Yeah. He's never by himself.
No.
So you have Keira Knightley, who's wooden. You have Orlando Bloom, who's wooden. And one of them is with Jack Sparrow at all times, basically. And even when Jeffrey Rush is on screen, he's kind of a little silly in his own way. So Keira Knightley's still the straight person. So you're right. It is still all paired up.
And it's why they accidentally ruined all the movies with the third one. Other than the fact that the third one's atrocious, and it's way too long, but there's a scene in it...
Wow, it sounds like Spider-Man 3.
The third of almost every trilogy is the worst, Ewoks. But here's what we have to do, right?
Infidel.
You have to remember this. The third one, we have no Jack Sparrow, no Jack Sparrow, no Jack Sparrow. And everyone's like, well, where's Jack Sparrow? And they give us what we finally want, a scene where Jack Sparrow is crazy on his own because he's in purgatory in that desert, strapped to the ship. And it's 15 minutes of him just making weird gestures and the rocks turn into crabs. And he's like, blimey, right?
Is that the one where he's like, my peanut?
Yes, that's exactly it. But the thing is, that's what we want. We want Jack Sparrow being insane by himself. And then we still have 2.5 hours more movie, and then that's what ruins it, right? Yeah. We want that scene. That's how you can tell this movie is probably cut and pasted together. you have the two comedic duos, and then Jack Sparrow throws off the balance of the whole rest of the movie because he's just flailing through the movie.
Yeah.
Movie, what the hell is
this movie? Really doesn't have a structure, does it? I mean, it for the first hour, it kind of does have a normal structure, and then they're like, oh, her blood won't work to lift the curse. Let's start over. And then they just kind of reset the movie.
No, it is.
And they're like, don't worry, we'll end up here in an hour. But that first hour...
Yeah. The
whole... So the movie turns into a 2.5 hour movie.
Yes, at that very juncture, Scott looked over at me and he's like, I know that we've got like another hour of this, but I can't remember where they're going to go from here.
Yeah, I remembered it ended.
He was like, back at that chest. Isn't this the end?
And that Jack Sparrow like gives himself the curse so he can win the fight. But I'm thinking, there's probably 80 minutes in between.
No, it's...
And I couldn't remember a damn thing, because there's no plot there. There's nothing that needed to be there.
Mm. It's an hour and 45-minute movie with another 45 minutes added to the end. It's funny you put it that way, because it really is. Yeah. We build up to this moment, and then I went to the bathroom, and I was just like, oh, I must have missed the scene where he's on the island. Nope, it was 40 minutes later. Yeah. It's amazing.
I didn't even remember. I was like, oh, yeah, where's the rum gone? Oh, that's in the second one, isn't it? And everyone's like, no, that's in this movie. I mean, I know the movie's been on for an hour and 45 minutes, but it's
coming.
It's a 4-minute scene. You just remember it being more memorable than that. Like,
speaking of which, for three people that haven't seen this movie, the whole point is that a group of pirates are trying to lift a curse by returning some gold coins that the Aztecs had to lift this curse that makes
the curse of Cortez, which they spelled wrong in the subtitles, which kind of bothered me.
Mm. Oh, yeah. They spelled it with a K. It pissed me off.
They spelled it with an S, which is the Portuguese way, which is fine.
Anyway, that's the whole thing. And the curse is apparently they become immortal skeletons when exposed to moonlight. But other than that, apparently their big problem is they can't taste anything.
They can't really enjoy any life at all. I can't no
oh, that's
taste what... of food or drink or...
Yeah, all their
pleasurable company,
insatiable. And,
I got that line, but the thing is, they're always laughing together, and they're still joking around with each other, and they're still taking pleasure out of things, though. So
yeah, that is a weird thing about adding comedy to that group of pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
you'd think they'd be all morose and monotone if they can't really enjoy any pleasures in life.
Yeah, hell true. Is other plot devices. there's also weirdnesses. Like, I mean, people have yelled at me for my incorrect use of words like hat and science. Plot device and MacGuffin and but that compass is weird. The compass that only points to the Forbidden Island, is explained in like movie 9 and probably some fan fiction, but there's a lot to this movie that they don't bother to explain, which is fine. But
is it the island from Lost? Because that had a crazy amount of electromagnetic activity going on.
That's kind of how it feels,
doesn't
it? So
maybe it was really pulling the compass.
Quick, join TV Tropes and add that to the Wild Mass guessing list.
Let me get my pen.
So we should make almost this list here, because we've recently done The Mummy, and you know it came out a few weeks before this, and we've talking about doing National Treasure. How many times is there, like, mystical... Like, it's the same plot over and over and over. And, like, this felt... The problem is, they keep showing back up on the Treasure Island. It's not a plot device anymore. You think the whole thing would be, we have to get back to this place again, and only Jack and Barbossa have been there, so it's a race to get there first. But it's not. There's just 9 million different plots. Dan?
Well, the problem is that the whole plot was supposed to be about Bill and Elizabeth. It wasn't supposed to be about Jack Sparrow. He was just supposed to be there. And that obviously didn't happen because everybody loved Johnny Depp. So it kind of got the original point of the movie confused.
Well, and I think all Disney movies end with a possibility for a sequel. You know, it's an you're not going to believe this, or a mysterious wedding, right? Something. This one had a standard one. However, I don't think they realized how big of a movie this would be. And so far, I mean, we've had fun with it, but it's very well made. So they realized like a mystery book, or like Star Wars, or like Welcome to Night Vale, every joke has a backstory. And that's the problem with the next 6 movies. Mm-hmm. And the next 6 after that.
Yep.
And the modifications they made to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, which apparently you have to watch very closely, but... It's all there. That's
never going to happen.
I did like how they incorporated the ride. Remember that they tried that Haunted Mansion movie with Eddie Murphy?
I think we might have blocked it out of our memories due to the trauma.
I remember seeing trailers for it. I never watched the movie.
I think I saw the first 5 minutes on a plane and then realized that sleeping would be better. Anything else you guys want to talk about? The score by Zimmer is great.
It's a very nice, rousing 1950s epic score.
It's a high seas version of the score from The Rock, starring Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage.
Stay tuned, guys.
Play them back to back. It sounds exactly like The Rock.
So for the awesome guys who listen to this regularly, thank you. All three of you are personal friends of mine. But I made a promise to those of you who are regulars. We would each pick everyone's favorite movie to do once. I promised you we would do it. And since we just released Roadhouse, I know that The Rock is coming up because someone made me promise we would do it when we were first pitching this idea 3 years ago as a podcast. So this is our summer blockbuster coming up, I'm sure of it.
The Rock is a perfect action movie. Perfect. I mean, it's got snacks, drinks, Sean Connery.
Ed Harris, dude.
It's got Michael Biehn.
It has Nick Cage being Nick Cage.
Yep. It's got that guy who's in stuff yelling on his radio during the car chase for no reason. It's great.
It's got Dr. Cox from Scrubs in it.
It does. John C. McGinley.
Yes.
He was
also one of the two Bobs in Office Space.
This one had dogs with keys.
Yeah.
Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
And Keira Knightley eating something, which is apparently a rare sight indeed.
Well, and I will say, when the guy got the fork in his eye, that was a legitimate laugh. This movie is legitimately funny at very many points. And the problem is with Johnny Depp's role, again, it's Jay and Silent Bob, man. Once he gets going, it's the same in all four movies. And
yeah, it's not as, oh wow, look at this character. It's, you know, that's like what Aaron was saying at the top was, I love Johnny Depp, I think he's great in this, but that character has been done to death since then, and it's been 13 years, and we're kind of like,
I do have to say, every time somebody says Jason Mewes and Jack Sparrow, I'm just thinking, Naga Naga Nooch, savvy. Sorry, everyone. That's
just going to isolate. I'm going to cut on either side with like 3 seconds of dead air, so it just stays.
Jeez.
So, Aaron.
Yes.
You're one of our... In fact, you are our script writing person. What do you think? We've been trying to crack this plot, but you've been... Of all the things that you've talked about, the actual script and the plot is not something you've talked about. So what do you think of this? This is a weird movie.
What I think that we actually have a case of here is perhaps too many good ideas coming to the table. And with those, instead of having someone come in and be like, sometimes you got to kill your darlings, and they didn't on this movie. All the ideas were good. Disney usually has a bunch of great ideas, and they just decided to keep them all with this film. And I think that was the biggest mistake that you could have said was made with this movie, because it could have been solidly cut, again, with just a story about the pirates, or just the love story, but we really do have like 5 different plots going on in this film, and while they do all make sense and they do all wrap up nicely, it does take an ungodly amount of time to get there. And by that time, I think that you've lost part of your audience, especially kids.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to market this as a Disney film that's you know, myopia, defend your childhood, children seeing this movie, I just can't, you know, I can't imagine.
Was this for kids? It had to be.
Like, I know we were all, I mean, I...
Well, like we said, Johnny Depp took it on because he thought he was going to do a role that his kids could
watch
and enjoy.
Right, well, you know, it's not rated R and not adult themes and stuff, but obviously it didn't turn out to be we just watched it. It is not what I would call a kid-friendly movie. It's kind of a kid-neutral. I mean, it's not... I don't know. Maybe that's why all the humor is for.
I feel like all the jokes and things like that are specifically... Adults enjoy them, but I think that that's what makes it more of a child's... like with children in mind. The same thing like I was mentioning before with the Three Musketeers. It's the same. You take what could be a much more adult film and you throw a bunch of humor in it and a bunch of likable characters.
Yeah, you Disney-fied.
And all of a sudden it's Disney-fied. Yeah.
Well, and they didn't really swear. They didn't. She like Keira Knightley was anything sexy, really? You know,
at least it wasn't a musical.
Well, there wasn't blood either.
That's true. Oh, and there was a lot of throat slit too, but no blood whatsoever.
No, I mean, like, we see blooded twice. One is very CGI when they cut Keira Knightley's hand, and the other one is when Barbossa gets shot. I guess spoilers, even though he survives somehow.
There's spoilers on this show.
No, there's not really a plot to spoil. But I mean, like, that's kind of weird. It makes it more of a kid movie.
That's clearly with kids in mind. You're right.
And like the horror elements are creepy, but they happen so often and in a very revealing way. You know, there's no jump scares. Right? They're just monsters, so I guess.
It's creepy because they're skeletons kind of thing. Yeah. And skeletons are creepy.
Horror elements or horror elements?
Whackity schmackity do.
Well, there's a horror element. They slap him repeatedly.
Yes, they do. I was about to say, there's both in this movie.
Kids love a good horror slapping.
They do. Horror slapping or
we call that
slapping?
Empowerment.
So Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger slap Johnny Depp, and he says he deserved that.
There you go.
He was in the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
He was in the first Nightmare.
We've come all the way back around.
He was the first one. He gets pulled through the mattress, right. Yeah, that's a great scene. Oh, that's a good scene.
There you go.
I will say, too, from a plot standpoint, I do like that they worked in aspects of the actual ride.
Yes.
But those were some of the scenes that could have so easily been cut down on your runtime.
Well, and to your point, I think the problem was this movie succeeded. When, like, everything you described are the things we talk about in bad movies. Too many cooks in the kitchen, too many ideas that they refuse to cut, extra long, like, time. Mm-hmm. How this movie worked is a miracle, right?
Yeah.
Then the problem was, when it worked, clearly no one told Gore Verbinski no again.
Right.
And like, and this is the shortest of the four movies. Oh. And by the end, I mean, Matt was, can we leave early?
Yeah, he was.
And credit where credit's due, by that point, I felt hot in the basement with 10 other people. And I was just like, I thought we already did this scene.
I mean, I went and saw the second one in the theater, and that was, you know, what, 10, 12 years ago. That's the last time and maybe the only time I remember falling asleep in a movie. Well, I fell asleep, maybe a half hour passed. I woke up and was like, is it still going?
In
and
the
it
first
was.
Movie?
Second one.
Oh, the second one.
So it bored me to death and I fell asleep and I got a nice nap in because it's like 3 hours long. So.
Well, see, I did the same kind of thing, but I guess I'm more stubborn because I saw the first one and I didn't watch it in theaters because I was like, this is a Disney kids movie. But then I saw it on a bus or whatever. You know, you know how you see these things on planes and buses.
Oh, yeah.
And so I saw the next three in theaters. With my wife, and we're still married, so I guess she didn't hate me because of it. But, you know, it's just one of those things where there's one coming out next year, and who knows?
Oh, this Johnny Depp needs to get paid, son.
I mean, apparently. Right? It's that new wife, I guess.
That new wife that was born relatively the year this came out?
She is a youngin'. No, this series reminds me of the Transformers series. There's a ton of them. They're all 140 minutes long. But they all think they need tons of backstory for some reason, and they could all just be really simple. And this movie's based off toys and a theme park ride.
Hey, Daniel, lay off the first one. Hate on the second Transformers movie's all you want, especially the fourth.
I said second
Transformers movie.
There's
like four second
Transformers
third.
Movies, listeners.
Are there
four?
Really?
And there's a fifth one coming out.
You people watch them and pay for them. Help.
I haven't
us.
Seen anything beyond the first one. The first
Stop
one was
Michael
just sort
Bay.
Of, eh.
The first one is good. The second one is so disappointing, I wrote a lengthy how I would have done it version.
He's
Hashtag
OJ.
Stop Michael Bay.
There's also,
stabble.
Oh, man. Does that mean next year there's going to be a Transformers, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and a Pirates movie?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is this summer.
Oh, here's what they need to do.
And I'm
just put an end
it.
To all this. Pirates, Transformers, mashup, one movie. Fight to the death.
I have a better idea.
wait.
Oh, let's hear it.
Oh, a CGI death match. Oh, go, Daniel. Wait.
I have a better idea, and I can sum it up in just singing one verse. This is the ultimate showdown. Ultimate destiny.
Good.
Bad guys and explosions, as far as I can see.
I can't afford the rights to this song. And it's fair Lemon use. Demon. No, it's not fair use. We're just singing the words to a parody song. I'm not going to be sued yet. I have a glorious plan.
I haven't been sued yet.
I have glorious plans to get sued. But I do like this because they're all comic books now. And there's a comic book series that ran last year of Batman and the Turtles matchup. So can you imagine Ben Affleck and the CGI Turtles? There was a Transformers crossover where they took over some ships that were from a Battleship movie. So what if it was Pirates of the Caribbean versus Transformers?
Transformers can travel through time or something, right?
There's a Transformers comic where they came back to Old West and so Optimus Prime was a train or something.
Oh, they've been around forever. That's the thing. Yeah. So yeah, you can easily have a mashup.
Or it's they own Marvel too. What if Captain Jack finds the Tesseract from Captain America?
They did say that the Infinity War movies will have like 50 characters in it. So maybe it's the pirates.
And I mean, by the time this comes out, it'll be old news. But they announced that they were going down from 2 Infinity War movies to 1.
Oh,
so that is going to
thank God.
So, but that means all 50 of them.
I mean,
will
isn't
be in
Jack
one.
Sparrow in like Kingdom Hearts and shit?
He is, and he's been added to the ride itself.
Oh my god.
And
he's gonna pop up.
I mean, he showed up.
He's gonna just show up. It's gonna be like some big Anchorman style fight in Infinity War, and it'll be like the Guardians of the Galaxy show up, Howard the Duck's having a beer, and Jack Sparrow shows up on a boat, and you're like,
I didn't think I was
gonna
think this, but you're right. They screwed it up. He should have been in the bar scene in Guardians of the Galaxy. He should have just been at a bar, right? Like, then you would have gotten it out of the way. Then you would have been able to put your foot down and claimed it, since they own the rights to it anyway, and it's a. That movie itself
or maybe
is a parody.
Or maybe
ends with a dance scene.
Yeah.
Or maybe have him in the collector's collection along with the space dog and Howard the Duck.
They should
him
have
Howard
his
the
compass
Duck
in the
be,
collector's
yeah.
scene.
We that would have been smooth.
We have
maybe it is.
Zoli Salandas. Solanda?
Saldana.
Saldana from Guardians of the Galaxy and Star Trek is in this movie.
Is she Anna Maria?
Yes, she is.
That would have been
great.
Makes
sense.
That's the tie together.
That's the connection right
there.
There
you go.
She gets abducted by the Guardians. Like, or by that... That's,
turns
that,
green.
Like,
turns green. It can happen.
It's Marvel.
I was going to bring up something about a TARDIS.
Oh.
Well, I mean, he could have been turned like in Street Fighter. He should have just been electrocuted and turned green. That's it. She turns green. Problem solved.
Just need us known the Doctor yet, Matt.
I like
Street Fighter. Well, they buy Britain, it works.
They own land.
You must have land.
You ain't a man if you don't own land.
So, Aaron, you have thoughts? We went off
the rails about 20 minutes ago, so how you doing?
Well, I mean, the thing is, this still had more plot than the movie. I don't know if it's more enjoyable, but I hope so. Please, I need money. I'm so sober. Dude Letter Podcasting. Beer jokes. We are running out of time, though, so we should probably give our final thoughts. We'll just go back around the table this way since you started us. Matt, what do you think?
I don't remember it being as good as I thought it was when I first saw it when I was in college, as a freshman in college, and it came out as on video. So I expected it to be better than it was. It was just so long and slow, even though Johnny Depp is amusing.
Thank you. Scotty boy.
Yeah, I saw this with my friend. We had screening passes and saw it like a week before it came out. And we kind of thought the same thing Nick said earlier, like, this is going to be stupid and kiddy, but it has Johnny Depp, so it might actually be good. And we were shocked how good it was. I remember enjoying the hell out of it. I did attempt to see the second one in theaters. That's how much I liked the first one. And watching it again now, it's good in that it's entertaining and all the stuff you remember is still memorable, like the sea turtles story and the rum and a lot of stuff. Johnny Depp's whole first scene is still really funny. But yeah, it's a good hour too long, and everyone else in the movie besides Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush is kind of not that watchable. So it's still entertaining, but maybe not as awesome as I thought it was.
Thank you. Daniel?
I feel the same way that I felt when I first saw it in theaters back in 2003. I'm not sure if that's a reflection of me or the movie, but as a spectacle, it's fine, and there's some really great elements here. I mean, Johnny Depp's performance, which at the time, I mean, a lot of people have forgotten it, especially younger people, that was huge, that he was doing a movie like this. He was this cult character actor who never made anything at the box office, ever. And the effects still hold up actually pretty well. And, I mean, but the plot, especially with the relationship with the villains, doesn't
doesn't work. I mean, they're not really villains. They're just regular guys, and considering that they're the same as the protagonist, doesn't work quite as well. There are flaws with this movie, but I'd still recommend watching it. I mean, the spectacle is great.
Thank you. And Aaron?
Watch it, but, you know, like halfway through, go do the dishes or something.
Thank you.
There you go.
You know, and my final thoughts are kind of building. This is my favorite part of doing the last final thoughts, is I get to build off of what you guys said, and sometimes I don't have thoughts, and then you tell me my thoughts.
It's like ordering at a restaurant. It's like, the tuna.
Yeah. Why if you go first? Good. Thank you. I needed a minute. Here's the thing. I didn't think someone could pull off an old 1940s or 50s style epic anymore. You know? And that's why you need a company like Disney, who has just piles of money shaped like Mickey Mouse, to do something like this. Anyone else could have done this movie, and it would have been failing. The same reason for all the reasons we talked about. The soundtrack seems like it's ripped off. You have too many character actors doing too many character actor things. And the plot that goes nowhere, and a script that's too long, and a movie that's half an hour too long at least. And yet, they were willing to spend the budget to make it look incredible. The fact that there were wooden decks on wooden ships... the fact that they were filming actual sailing ship scenes. I mean, and the fact that, hell, even Assassin's Creed game, 10 years after this came out, is ripping it off by having the black flag and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hell of a thing. To recreate a genre that was effectively dead other than to make failing parody movies, almost. That's incredible. It's honestly funny. I think it's well made. I really wish it was half an hour shorter like I remembered it. But it's amazing what your brain does when you remember bad movie plots.
Should be a name for that.
And that's what this podcast is all about.
It's like you're myopic on the things you... Ah, damn it. If only I'd called it myopic movies. Ask God, I blame you. We are out of time. I'd say watch it. But tune in next week and every future week as we put another piece of someone else's past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Dude Letter Podcasting. It's hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced and mixed by Ann Burns, and edited by Nick Hoffman. Our graphic designer is Scott Miller. The theme song is Caroline, written and performed by The Serenaders. Purchase their music through the Amazon link on dudeletter.com. Questions or comments? Please visit myopiapodcast.com or contact us through myopiapodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at Myopia Podcast and at Dude Letter, and find us on our Facebook, Stitcher, and iTunes pages. And while you're on iTunes, please rate and review our podcast. It helps us out a lot. Want to give us money? Go to myopiapodcast.com/Amazon and purchase stuff like normal. Myopia gets a piece of the action. We would also like to thank this week the East India Trading Company, which was a thing that existed, actually. And they made good use of kind of in this movie. At least they explained what it did, so points for history, kinda. Tune in next time when we put another little piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.